Good morning. This is Brad Lacey, pastor of First Baptist Church at Conshohocken, president of the Philadelphia Bible Society, and for this hour, host of The Great Message on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. I am joined for the preponderance of the hour by a very, very engaging man, a newfound friend of mine, Mr. Steve Pallara of Cool Beams Music. You will find Steve to be a very engaging fellow. He and I will share on the other end of our devotional. We continue to draw upon the Apostle Paul, his letter to the Colossian church, as found in the New Testament. We read, please, from the second chapter, beginning in the 16th verse, and we read through the third chapter, ending with the fourth verse. Let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink, or with regard to a festival, or a new moon, or a Sabbath. These are a shadow of the things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Let no one disqualify you, insisting on asceticism and worship of angels, going on in detail about visions, puffed up without reason by his sensuous mind, not holding fast to the head, from whom the whole body, nourished and knit together through its joints and ligaments, grows with the growth that is from God. If with Christ you died to the elemental spirits of the world, why, as if you were still alive in the world, do you submit to regulations? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch, referring to things that all perish as they are used, according to the human precepts and teachings. These have indeed an appearance of wisdom in promoting self-made religion and asceticism and severity to the body, but they are of no value in stopping the indulgence of the flesh. If, then, you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Excuse me, and praise God for the word. It is, I think, apparent in the world of religion that there is oft times, if not always, a tension between what is allowed and what is not allowed. And insofar as the things allowed, there may be seasons during which, for spiritual purpose, we feel the need to set them aside so that we can give more direct attention to the Lord God Almighty. Certainly, for Christians down through the centuries, especially our more liturgically oriented comrades in Christ, our Catholic brethren, most notably, the Lenten disciplines of sacrifice, sacrificing something that would be normally a part of one's diet or the like. This is at root what is behind this kind of sacrifice, so that one can attend more forthrightly and clearly to Christ and the things of Christ. The Apostle Paul even says in his first letter to the Corinthians that husbands and wives who are earnest followers of Christ may from time to time, but only for a season, wish to separate from one another. Not so much that they're no longer living under the same roof, but that they would separate in terms of intimacy or sexually, in order that they can give an upgrade, if you will, to focus spiritually, to focus more and more upon Jesus Christ. But Paul adds the caveat or the dictum that only for a season, lest the devil get a foothold between a man and his wife. Paul tells us elsewhere that one man can eat meat that was set apart for idol worship, this being in an ancient era. And one man can eat that meat because it no longer has idolatrous connections. Another man in his heart or mind feels that because it had been committed to idols, it would be best if he were to refrain. These are areas in which the Word of God tells us that the individual believer has freedom of conscience. no doubt conscience that must be given guide by prayer and the Holy Spirit. The problem is when men and women submit to earthly overlords, if you will, spiritual mentors who are not motivated by the things of God. And Paul here even says that these kinds of submissions, and therefore these kinds of sacrifices, they have an appearance of wisdom. They have an appearance of value, but they remain rooted in the flesh, and therefore they have no power or value in helping your flesh to be overthrown and giving further room for the Holy Spirit to breathe and to grow in our lives. We cannot become, as followers of Jesus Christ, we cannot lend ourselves to a more legalistic theology or philosophy. If we are to follow the dictate of the law, it must be out of love. Indeed, our motivation now is not so much the dictate of the law as it is love for God and love for neighbor. And if you love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your strength, all of your mind, and if you love your neighbor as yourself, these two commandments are the fulfillment of the law. There will be no need for prohibition because you won't be doing anything that needs to be prohibited. You will be mindful of the prerogative of God in your life. You will be mindful of the prerogative of your neighbor, his life, his value, his possessions, and the like. The love that of which we speak is the summation, it is the foundation, it is the spirit and substance of what suffuses the law that has been given to us. The reason why the Ten Commandments were issued is because our flesh needs to be given restraint and prohibition. If without that restraint or prohibition, license prevails. So we're battling, please, between the twin destructive modes of legalism on the one hand and what we may call licentiousness on the other. There are things that we are not to do, but if we don't do them, we're not to do them in the right spirit. Again, the love of God and the love of one's neighbor. Indeed, I heard it said of the Ten Commandments, and I love how it was cast. The Ten Commandments are, and I quote, the irreducible minimum by which man and society can be maintained. It goes so far beyond simply observing the law and not violating its dictate. We have to go to the very heart of the matter. The Bible says that when God created man, forgive me, I think an extrapolation and a legitimate one from the Word of God, we find the opening salvo of the Westminster Confession. The chief end of man is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. What is the glue that binds giving glory to God with our enjoyment of him? Is it not love? Is not that the glue that binds a man and his wife together, or a parent and his or her child together? Is it not love? Is not love the substance of that rapport or encounter or relationship? So it is vis-a-vis us and the Almighty. So if you are led within your own heart and mind to sacrifice something or to engage in a practice, if only for a season, by which your walk with Christ and your life in him is allowed to be given greater concentration, by all means, do it, go for it, and praise the Lord. And may we all benefit by its results. But to surrender to earthly and man-made teaching as if it is ironclad, and if it is man-made and ironclad, I assure you, it is devoid of the core of what the law should be observing, the core of our observance of the law, which is love. We love God so much, we won't do what he tells us we shouldn't. We love God so much, we will do what he tells us that we should. A mother doesn't need instruction or prompting, most mothers, in the care of her children. It will be instinctive. It will be natural. And no matter how much a labor it may be, I mean, my goodness, at 3 o'clock in the morning when the poor woman needs sleep and the baby won't stop crying, that's a labor. But be mindful of the fact that it's a labor of love. That is what we are intended to be as Christians. Men and women going about our lives, doing and living our lives, obeying and performing and ministering and blessing out of pure, unadulterated love, the agape, or the holy and sacrificial love of Christ. I love how Paul puts it concerning the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5. Now, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And then he adds of these very charming and fruitful commodities, against these things there is no law. How do you legislate against love? Praise God for the love of Jesus. This is Brad Lacey with the great message. We return in a moment. Brad Lacey, returning with the great message on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT. We are now joined by a very, I think you will find to be a very charming and endearing guest. His name is Steve Pulara, and he is with his own ministry and website entitled Cool Beams Music. And I have known of Steve for some time. We share a very dear friend in Father Dennis Gill of the Cathedral Basilica of Saints Peter and Paul on the Ben Franklin Parkway. Steve comes highly recommended by Father Gill. Steve, welcome to our broadcast.
Oh, thanks for having me. I listen to it often, and I'm probably one of the few of my friends that are even up at that time, but I've always found your show to be really interesting and helpful. So great job.
Well, you're very kind. You're very kind and gracious. You know, often people will recognize my voice. I never get used to it. It's always a novelty. They'll recognize my voice and they say, oh, we know who you are. You're Brad Lacey. And I'm still witless and naive. And I say, well, how do you know me? And they say, well, we hear you on the radio. But then I add my own bit of wit and wisdom to it, because I ask them, now let me ask you, and you be honest. Mm-hmm. Do you listen to the broadcast at 5 a.m.?
Yeah.
Or do you hear the blurb throughout the day? Okay.
Well, I've heard
both. And they know I'm asking sweetly. And oftentimes we laugh over it. Well, we hear the blurb, you know. So I'm so happy you listen to the broadcast.
Yeah.
It's a joy to know.
Yeah.
And Steve, you're a man of faith. You're a very engaging guy. I learned this yesterday. You have a wonderful ministry. But I'd like to start out, please. The broadcast can be formulaic, but always in a very, I think, singular way with each particular guest. Mm-hmm. I'd like to have our guests share with our audience their story of faith. Mm-hmm. So tell us about your faith, your encounter with Jesus Christ, the context in which it plays out. Share your faith story.
Sure. Well, when I was in high school, there was a job at our church rectory as an office person, just to sit there and answer the phone and put them into the direct priest. And at that point, I was actually painting and illustrating. And so I had hours of peaceful time to do paintings and illustrate. And when I got to college, which I received a 4-year scholarship to the School of Visual Arts, I was able to do these bone drawings and anatomy drawings like no other student, because I had lots of time somewhere with no, I would say interruption, but I use that word. I don't mean anybody was interrupting, but my job was just to answer the phone. That's what it was.
Yes.
You could read a book, you could do your homework. So from there, I started to get to know the priests. And I did like the life of St. Francis. I thought it was very interesting. Somebody who really took the gospel to heart. It's a fascinating story. And I did explore the Franciscan order at one point in my life. But then I just realized with some of the disciplines were just a bit much for me. And at that time, I was working as an art director type person. And an illustrator as well. I also had gotten jobs in a studio here and there, and for being an artist. I had always been able to draw. always, my whole life. In fact, I was like a novelty at parties because relatives would show me a picture to draw, and then they see I could knock it out and add characters to it. And my grandfather taught me how to draw a Roman soldier, which all boys in the family had to learn. So I was able to get in history and all these kinds of things. And all during that, the arts were always prevalent in my life. My grandfather used to sit me on his knee and teach me the guitar. And it was the guitar he brought from Italy, which disappeared and reappeared when my aunt was moving. And my family made a presentation to me of the guitar, which I have here, the guitar he had on his back when he landed here. So I've always had music and art in my life. And it's always gotten me work to pay for, you know, to be a job, to be a vocation. So then I ended up in the corporate world. I guess I can't mention the name of the company, but they used to have a thing in there, I guess you would even call it a vocation. It was called a partner, and it had their name in front of it. So you had math partners, you had English partners, and they'd never forced you to do it, but they put a flyer on your desk and saw if you were interested. And then they would drive you around to different schools that would you could pick one of the classrooms to go every other week. So I never signed up for it because I had crazy deadlines in the commercial art world. And by the way, I also did fine arts too, which was my original intent. So for me, it was all art. I just loved and still love to do what I do. So, but I also sang. And at that time, I was on the radio, on children's radio, WXPN and WHYY were playing my songs. And so I used to bring my guitar, which they never asked for. They wanted me to just show kids how to draw. So we toured around some classrooms. You got to pick your classroom, and I picked a classroom. And school happened to be 2 blocks from my house instead of getting up super early, and then you had to go back to where you were. So I was teaching these children how to draw using the alphabets and sing a song on the subject. So let's say it was St. Patrick's Day. We would draw, we would sing an Irish tune, or Columbus Day, sing a song about Columbus, and I would show them how to draw a boat or a leprechaun using the alphabets. And this was going very well. Well, all of a sudden, one of the classes had a person in the back of the room writing down every move I made. And I was getting a little nervous. I don't know what that was all about. So I asked the woman that was the teacher, I said, what's going on? She goes, they're doing a report on you. Well, when you work for a corporation, they're doing a report on you. You don't know what's going on. So I said, what's the report about? You know, she said, don't you know? I said, no. What's this all about? She goes, these are special education children. And they can't even remember how to write their own names. And they're drawing your pictures and doing the things you've showed them for a whole week. I said, wow, that's pretty fascinating.
You know, if I may interject, Steve, yeah. I had a teacher in high school. Mm-hmm. I had a man, he was my teacher every day for 3 years. He was as extraordinary a teacher as I've ever known. And I incorporate 7 years of higher education into that assessment. Mm-hmm. And many parents would tell him, you know, my son or daughter never took an interest in learning. School was always difficult. Mm-hmm. They would get C's and D's. They come home captivated by what you're offering them, mm-hmm. and their grades have improved dramatically. So when a teacher of whatever vintage or variety can move students, and you're speaking of special needs kids, clearly the Lord has given you a special aptitude.
One that I didn't understand that I even had. I just was being me. And ironically, yeah. I was relating with them eventually in the sense that I was left back in the fifth grade. I just couldn't grasp the math issues, but give me a pencil and draw and paint. And I was always the one that did the school scenery for the plays. And when I got to high school, I mean, my goodness, I was drawing and painting at a very, very high level and quick with ideas that I landed a 4-year scholarship and technically 3 scholarships. And we chose the one that had the full 4 years. So I ended up with a bachelor's degree in art and history. And I love history. So all these different things. I did go to Catholic elementary school and got a good foundation in Western history and Western art and all kinds of things. So well, I was full of ideas.
Forgive me for interjecting, if I may as well.
Yeah.
You said that you couldn't get, I think you said the math thing when you were in fifth grade. Steve, I'm 62 years of age, and I still can't get the math thing. It's utterly, to my mind, mathematics is a conspiracy designed by the few to confute the many, and I'm confuted. Believe me, but for me, I'm a word man, as you're a visual man. But we must take a break. Yeah. Brad Lacey and Steve Pallotta, we return for further chat in just a moment. Thank you. Brad Lacey and Steve Pallotta of Cool Beams Music returning for another round of conversation on The Great Message with Talk Radio 1210. WPHT. Steve, clearly in our earlier moments of discussion, your life was set up, if you will, to be working with children. You have a gift with the visual arts. From what you share with me, you clearly have a connection and therefore a gift with children. Tell us about the work you do with these kids. And I know that a lot of your music, if not all of it, I don't know, but certainly a lot of it is Christian oriented. So you're teaching the children about Christ and the gospel. Tell us about this wonderful work.
Well, what I've done then, this is how this all relates to the real focus of things coming together was, again, something I didn't plan it this way. With the special needs children, there was a woman, a teacher who's a friend to this day, would always stand in the door of the classroom, and she'd go, "Could you please sing to my children?" And I would look in the room, and they were kids that were quadriplegic and all kinds of.
Yeah.
And I kept saying, "I just don't think I can." I would say to her, "I just don't know what to do." But I realized that was a lack of faith. And one night I prayed to the Lord. I said, "Lord, she's going to be there." And I realized she was kind of like the lady, and I'm not saying I'm like Jesus, that would always tug at Jesus's robe and say, "Can you come to see my daughter?" Remember? She was.
Yes, I do.
So I felt that's kind of what she was doing, and I should say, yes, I'll do that classroom, even though it was not on the official schedule. I had to stick to what I did. So I said, yes, I'll be in. And she was thrilled. And the other teacher said, "Well, I'm not giving up my class." So what happened is the kids that were able helped the kids that were unable.
Oh, how about that?
Yeah.
How beautiful that is. How beautiful that is.
And then what happened is the place where I was working was letting the whole floor go. They were condensing. And I never told the kids. And they made a giant quilt for me of every drawing. And the kids that couldn't, they pushed their fingers on it with their fingertips.
Yes.
And I get a little emotional here because it's a fascinating story. So then what happened is that woman said, "Steve, I put you in for a grant and you're going to get the grant." She was on the board of a grant committee for special ed kids for the arts. And here I am today. So I do all kinds of concerts for kids. And I try to live as a positive example. And we did an album about bullying. What? It won a Grammy.
Yeah.
Did one about eating right, got a Grammy nomination. And it was all because the Lord helped me focus. Just keep focusing on who you are, who I made you to be. And I'm talking to you, to thousands of people.
Well, I praise God you're with us today, Steve. When you speak of winning the Grammy, I don't know if you're conversant. There's a renowned evangelical church in New York City called the Brooklyn Tabernacle. They're renowned for their choir.
I've heard of them.
Yeah, and they've won a number of Grammys. I've frequented services there, and I'm intrigued because when I think of the Grammys, I realize they have religious categories. But in the main, whenever I see them on TV, which I try not to, because so much of the music is just noise to me, the contemporary stuff. Uh-huh. That's maybe just me talking. Yeah. But then I hear a guy like you who loves the Lord and is an instrument of his mercy and grace. I hear of the Brooklyn Tabernacle, and I know that they're worshiping and not simply singing. To sing is beautiful. They're doing both. It's just a wonderful thing to know that God still makes inroads into these other worlds, the worlds that are not, it's a beautiful thing. Were you at the Grammy Awards to receive your award, or you were?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, go on my website, and there's footage of me receiving the award with our team. And the album is called All About Bullies, Big and Small. It originally was going to be a Steve Pallara solo album. And one of my friends who had worked on a previous one said, Steve, why don't you invite some of the same people on from the last one and invite even more? So what happened is I wrote most of the material and invited people on, and some brought their own, which we had to run through a board of psychologists, actually, and people that were specialists in bullying, non-bullying, and all the net went to that whatever you would call it, the charity in the Midwest somewhere. And the way I live for the Lord is that I don't necessarily put the object of Christianity into the children's or the people are listening's, I guess, lack of a better word, face.
Mm-hmm.
I let them be intrigued by what I do because that's how I am.
Yes.
I did do a full-blown Christian album called The Ring of Faith, which I did submit to the Grammys. It didn't get nominated, but you're not always going to get nominated.
You win some. Hey, you know what? Paul Newman should have won.
Good reviews.
Paul Newman should have won an Oscar for his role in The Verdict, 1982, but he went up against Iron that year. Okay. Betty Davis, by my estimate, should have won for The Letter in 1940, but she went up against Iron. Clark Gable should have won for Gone with the Wind, but he went up against a beloved Goodbye, Mr. Chips film in 1939. So you win some and you lose some,
you win with endurance.
Exactly. Now, you mentioned not putting, if you will, religion in people's faces, as we say. I know that the great C.S. Lewis, who did a lot of children's writing, he wrote the Screwtape Letters, he did a lot of very sophisticated literary criticism. Lewis, who was an ardently and devout Christian, always said that he found the concept of what people will call Christian fiction. For him, that was repugnant. He didn't like the word Christian being applied adjectivally. And he said that any writing, and I think we can parlay this into your music, any piece of music that is speaking truth or beauty is by its nature Christian in its substance. And the gospel will come forth. And I believe in that myself, Steve. And now, of course, I'm a polemicist for the gospel. I'm a preacher. So I'm more overt and forthright. But there are all kinds of shades and nuances by which the reality and love of God can be made known. You're being very concrete with your love for these children.
Mm-hmm. I found ways to sing the children's experience in a sense. For instance, I did an album called Butterflies Wear Sneakers, which were basically songs about conversations.
I love it.
Songs about conversations kids were having with their family or relatives. And one of the songs was called The More Teeth Missing. And what happened was I came up with this idea. I remember it clearly. And I remember like my sister having braces and girls that I knew, my godchild had braces. And sometimes kids are cruel about things like that. So I wrote a whole song about that, how the girl got braces and it's through the eyes of her father. No, I have no children, so I acted as if it was my dad looking at my sister. And then how that the child had a tough day at school, and then how the boy she liked, he started not to like her anymore, all the typical things. And I wrote it in a fun, witty way. And then that the father kept observing her as she was getting new teeth.
That's beautiful.
So then
I love it.
Well, check this out. We put it on YouTube, and I'll never forget this because it was one of the most wonderful experiences. All of a sudden, it was getting lots and lots of hits, like lots of them. That YouTube slowed it down and analyzed them, made sure it wasn't a machine, because they have these things that put fake hits on them. And it got something like, I don't even know what the number is, like maybe 30,000. I don't even know what it was. Huge, huge. And we did it in country style. So it had like the sliding guitars and everything. And to this day, I don't know, the people are still listening to it. And I said to my friends, the whole thing with YouTube is you want a commercial in it. You want the commercial. You need to make something attractive so that somebody's going to buy the front end of that or the back end of it. So I told my band friends, I said, this is probably going to get a dental company interested. Well, finally, around Easter time, I was at my sister's house because she had never seen anything of mine on YouTube. And she is really the person who the song was written about. On YouTube, she finally got to see. She goes, Steve, I can't see it. There's all these stupid commercials on. I said, what, commercials? She goes, they're all like, I said, are they dental? She goes, yeah. I said, Dina, that was exactly what I thought would happen. And to this day, it's still up there. I don't even know what the latest number is, but it's a huge number for me. And I was just thrilled with that. So I always write with an objective of love, of a commonality we all share, but also with somebody who might be on the outer fringe that needs to know the commonality. And it's all rooted in my faith, you know, and I do live shows.
Yeah,
too.
I'm very intrigued by your wanting to make connections so that people who are maybe walking a half step off the normal trajectory that we are. I'm in a role where, and by temperament as well, I'm able to make those connections also. So I feel a common spirit with you in that respect. But Steve, we have to take a break.
Oh, okay.
We've got one more round, okay? Cool. You know this is like a flyby. Brad Lacey and Steve Pallotta, we return for one final round of The Great Message in just a moment. Thank you. Brad Lacey and Steve Pallotta of Cool Beams Music returning for one final round of The Great Message on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT. Steve, I love the concepts that lead your albums, and you have shared with me that you have a new one just out, fresh to be heard. Tell us about it.
Well, I've been doing, I think I have like 14 albums out, and they all have lyrics from animals to outer space to aliens to having braces to having family stories. And I've always liked classical music. A lot of people don't know, but classical composers wrote, I mean, Mozart wrote Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. Prokofiev wrote Peter and the Wolf. There's so many.
The Carnival of the Animals by Cézanne.
Yes. Yeah. So I wanted to do that. And I don't mean to be conceited, but I feel I have it in me that I have an ability. Now, here's a twist, too. This is how we know it's a pure gift. I can't read music. It's the funniest part of the whole thing. I don't even know what they look like.
I hear this from a number of people who are extraordinarily gifted musically.
I cannot read a note. I call them the dancing lollipops, and they give me headaches. Just look at them. I have people say, you don't get it? I said, I don't want to look at that stuff. I can't understand it. I just know how to do it. So what I did is I made, they call them demos, and I wrote them on flute and guitar. And I have a very, very dear friend. I would say he's in the best friend category. He's been with me in the recording studio for about 30 years now. I ran this idea by him because he could write it. He knows how to write and play classically as well. And I ran the idea by him. I said, look, you know, I'd like to do this one as like a rhapsody, like Gershwin. And then I'd like to do this other one like a bolero. And this other one, like
I love Bolero by Ravel.
Yeah, well, I did one.
And
at
some
the very
people
end.
Think that's very. Some people think it's very boring. I'm captivated by it.
It's mesmerizing, is what it is. It's about a bullfighter, actually. So, what happened is that I would bring the demos and record them, and Pat did. His name is Pat Robinson. He did arrangements and scores, and then we invited people in. This one cellist is a wonderful cellist. She's one of the best in the world. Her name is Tess Remy Schumacher. She and I struck up a good friendship. She lives out in Oklahoma. She's from Germany. And she's one of the best cellists in the world. And she likes my stuff. And she kept calling, Steve, I want to work with you. I want to work with you. I said, great. So this album had a couple spots for her. And she plays beautifully. So much so that the flautist that I hired wanted to know who played that cello, because it was moving him. She plays so passionately, you cry listening to the emotion.
Well, Steve, you just did something that could make me cry. You pronounced the word correctly, and even on classical music stations wherever I am, they're not pronouncing it this way anymore. You just spoke of a person who plays the flute as a flautist.
Yes.
One doesn't hear that pronunciation much anymore, but it's the accurate one, and you just gave it to me.
I'm glad I made your day. I always thought they were called flautists.
That you made dig, believe me.
So I played flute on the album, but so did he. And what happened is there's like funny stories with the different types of instruments. And I would come up with these tunes that sometimes sounded like another composer. So I would bring them to Pat, and every song, like they're not really songs, they're musical pieces. Every musical piece has an aquatic title, and they're not heavy. They're fun to listen to, and they're as classical as Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. So it opens up with one called The Frog Hop. Then we go to the Angelfish Waltz. Then we go to the 10-minute piece called The Aquarium Rhapsody. And what we do is we echo, or you might call quoting, which is totally permitted in classical music. You quote another artist a bit. So we have a little part of the Nutcracker Suite pop through one. And it's so that parents and children and teachers can say, hey, look what they did there. Do you remember? You want to hear what that artist is about? So everything in this album is inviting. And the titles themselves are inviting. And the reviews are amazing. One person that I was going to send to for a review, she said, Steve, she said, honey, actually, in her text. Honey, I'm already on this. I really like this album. One of my things I learned and studied was classical music. I didn't even have to ask her.
Well, let me tell you this. When she says darling, you're engaged, okay?
She's very married.
But, okay, fair enough.
Let me ask. Yes, sir.
Let me ask you, Steve, and we're going to have you highlight your website at the end of our conversation. But I'd like, forgive me, a dramatic turn here. I don't mean to be rude.
No, you're not.
But I'd like your sense, please. You're a man of faith. How do you feel that your the application of your gift, your use of music, your life as a man of faith, as a musician, how do you think all of this, we're sharing how it ministers to the children. In fact, implicit in that maybe is our answer. Mm-hmm. How do you feel you're bringing glory to God by the way you utilize your gifts and apply yourself? How is God being honored here?
What I tend to do often is I will wear a crucifix around my neck on stage, because that is my faith. And I also try to live the life. I'm not perfect, but I'll always make time to talk to a child. If a child is in a wheelchair, I'll go up to them. I let them handle my instruments with a photo with me. Kids want to touch things, you know? I make sure with parents' permission. Mm-hmm. And I just try to live the life. I'm not perfect, but I try to live the life. And it is challenging in these days. And I'm still single.
Well, I bring it. I've
never been married.
You know, which is a challenge. Well, being married is a challenge too, right? I mean, life is a challenge. Mm-hmm. Let's be honest, you know? Yeah, it's just the nature of a fallen world. But, you know, I'm glad you speak of the way you do, because I believe, I'm a pastor for 35 years standing now, and I have been a Christian for 48 years. I asked Christ into my life. Mm-hmm. He came to visit me, and I asked him to stay, and he did.
Wow.
48 years ago. And I work with a group called the Philadelphia Bible Society. We exist to freely, this is our language, freely distribute the Word of God. The American Bible Society, also situated in Philly, they accentuate Bible engagement. But as a pastor and as a Christian, and I think this is what you've just said, we are called upon to embody the gospel. And that's essentially and exactly what you're doing. You're endeavoring to embody or live out your faith. That is always to the glory of God. Steve, I'd like you to highlight, please, your website, because I'd love for people to go to it and get a listen for themselves. Tell us about your website.
Sure. It's called coolbeansmusic, all one word, .com. And the website has every album I've ever done for free. You can listen to the whole thing. It also has ways you could buy songs and put them in whatever devices are popular now. I can't even keep up with it all. It has little stories, lots of reviews. It has footage of me getting the Grammy. People are interested in that. There's tabs for everything. And it also has people I've collaborated with. I've been blessed. I even got to do a project with Julian Lennon. Different projects. And but again, I try to be me. You know, that's the best way.
Yeah, I have to be honest with you, though, Steve. I have to be honest with you. My dear friend Frank, who works with me on this broadcast, we'd be even more impressed if you had collaborated with Frank Sinatra. But that's just us, you know. I jest with you. Will you come back to the broadcast another time? Will you join us again?
Oh, I'm sorry. I was laughing too much. Yes, of course.
Well, we're going to have you back. This is Brad Lacy with Steve Pallotta of Cool Beams Music. I would encourage you to check out his website. He's a great guy, and Steve, we'll have you back. God bless you all for listening. Thank you.